simplifying a complex, confusing world. The Explainers, only on The Podcaster.
Hi, you're listening to Brian, and this is Explainers. You know, a few weeks ago, that's early in September 2023, the central government called for a five-day special session of Parliament on the 18th September. That led to some speculation about the reasons for a special session. The Uniform Civil Code? Would India be officially renamed Bharat? Well, as it turns out, it was to discuss eight different bills, including a bill on the welfare of senior citizens, three bills related to scheduled caste and scheduled tribes, and a women's reservation bill. On day one of the special session, the Lok Sabha discussed the bill for over 6 hours, and the Rajya Sabha discussed the bill for over 11 hours. The next day, Prime Minister Narendra Modi led the MPs on a short walk from the old Parliament building to the new one. A walk that, one must admit, was a bit funny, awkward, and more than a little contrived. Anyway, the new bill, Nari Shakti Vandan Adhiniyam, was passed 454-2 in the new building, making it the first bill to be passed in the new home of India's Parliament. A healthy dose of unsubtle symbolism here, which is standard issue drama in Indian politics, don't you think? What does this mean technically, or is that legally, since we're talking about a constitutional amendment here? The bill provided for inserting Article 330A into the constitution pertaining to reservation of seats for SCSTs, and it introduces Article 332A, which provides reservation for women in legislative assemblies.
We help you understand the world. The Explainers, only on The Podcaster.
So, what is this Women's Reservation Bill all about? On September 18th, the Union Cabinet, that's the main group of ministers in the central government with the important portfolios and ministries, passed the Women's Reservation Bill. That nod from the government meant it would go to Parliament for discussion in both houses, the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha. The decision also led to speculation that the Women's Bill would be a central feature of the special session of Parliament that the government had called. Arjun Ram Meghwal, the Central Minister of Law and Justice, introduced the bill on September 19th. The reservation in the bill's name indicates that 33%, one-third of the 543 seats of the Lok Sabha, the most powerful lower house of India's parliament, will be reserved for women. Mind you, this is the Lok Sabha. 543 of the 545 MPs are elected directly by the people. Two seats are reserved for Anglo-Indians. So, we're talking about 181 seats out of 543. To put that into perspective, the current Lok Sabha in September of 2023, according to the official Lok Sabha website, sansad.in, has 539 MPs. 82 or 15% of them are women. One would have to admit that 15% is not commensurate given the percentage of the population they represent. Similarly, state legislative assemblies have 33% reservation for women. Legislative assemblies are to state what the Lok Sabha is to the parliament, directly elected by the common people, and the legislative councils are to state what the Rajya Sabha is to the parliament. So, you can see why this bill is considered significant, especially given the less than stellar track record of our society with respect to how it has treated women historically. What does the bill actually do for women's representation? Let's look at the salient features of this new bill. A caveat here, we're calling it new only because it's been passed this year, but in truth, it is a culmination of a decades-long attempt to provide some kind of parity to women in India's temple of democracy. More on that later. We're getting into the weeds now, listing out the main features you need to know from this bill. You know, to arm yourself adequately for the discussions that may ensue in your next family get-together. Number one, 33%. That's the big number here. The bill that reserves 33% of seats in the Lok Sabha and state legislative assemblies for women. As mentioned earlier, that amounts to 181 Lok Sabha seats. Only women can contest for these seats. Number two, similarly, one-third of the seats reserved in the Lok Sabha for SCSTs will be reserved for women from these SCST categories. That's 28 seats for women from SC or Scheduled Caste category and 16 seats for women from the ST or Scheduled Tribe category. Number 3. 2027. That's the year the bill will most probably actually kick in, because that's when the delimitation of constituencies kicks in. What is delimitation? According to the Quint, delimitation, and I quote, is for constituency sizes to accurately reflect demographic changes and for each vote to carry the same weight in the larger scheme of the elections. Delimitation is seen as a necessary prerequisite for any women reservation to be implemented, since it cannot be arbitrarily decided which one-third of the seats will be reserved for women candidates and which won't. End quote. That also means the bill won't come into effect for the 2024 general elections. According to an India Today report, the bill itself says that the census as well as the delimitation exercise will have to take place before the reservation can be implemented. Number 4. There will be no reservation for women in the Rajya Sabha or state legislative councils. These members are not elected directly by the people, but by state legislative assemblies and local bodies. Number 5. 15 years. That's how long this reservation will remain valid after the bill becomes an act. That said, the term can be extended.
We help you understand the world. The Explainers, only on the Podcaster.
Women's Reservation Bill, the arduous journey. 181 seats are now reserved for women, so that leaves 412 unreserved seats in the Lok Sabha. One criticism leveled at the bill is that it makes no reservation for women in the OBC or other backward class category. But why is this bill being deemed necessary? Women have historically never accounted for more than 15% of elected representatives in India, and that's at the parliamentary level. At the state level, in nearly 20 state assemblies, this representation falls below 10%. So, the bill seeks to right a historical, well, not a wrong per se, but a glaring discrepancy since the nation's inception. Women in India have had the right to vote since we gained independence. In comparison, women in the United States didn't have the right to vote, as protected by the central law, until 1920. Before that, only some American states allowed women to vote. And black women, though legally entitled, were effectively denied voting rights until 1965. The United Kingdom had equal suffrage only in 1928. But women MPs made up just about 5% of members of the first Lok Sabha back in the 1950s. And in over 75 years, this has reached only 15%. The Inter-Parliamentary Union's global ranking of women's parliamentary presence, yes, that's a global ranking of women's representation, India placed 117 in 2014, but dropped to 141 in 2019. That's far worse than Bangladesh, which ranks 109, and Pakistan, which ranks 111.
We help you understand the world. The Explainers, only on the Podcaster.
Speaking in the Rajya Sabha, Prime Minister Narendra Modi said, and I quote, "We've been debating the Women's Reservation Bill in legislatures for a long time. Many have attempted to pass this bill in the past. The process began in 1996, and there were many attempts during Vajpayee's time. But it fell short of numbers. Now that we are in a new House of Parliament, it is time to enshrine this long-standing proposal in law and ensure that Nari Shakti, that is women, are given an equal role in the journey of our country's development." End quote. You heard that right. The process to pass a women's reservation bill began way back in September 1996, when H.D. Devegowda's government proposed the 81st Constitution Amendment Bill in Lok Sabha for the reservation of women in the parliament. That was the first time the bill was introduced at the parliamentary level. But it did not receive widespread support, and after that government fell in 1998, the bill was forgotten. Prior to that, in 1989, the Rajiv Gandhi government, according to an article in livemint.com, had introduced the Constitution Amendment Bill to provide one-third reservation for women in rural and urban local bodies. The bill was passed in Lok Sabha but failed to get passed in Rajya Sabha in September 1989. Two bills similar to Rajiv Gandhi's proposal were introduced by the Narasimha Rao government in 1992 and 1993, which were passed by both houses of parliament. Today, approximately 15 lakh elected women representatives work in the panchayats and nagarpalikas across India. During the 2023 discussion, Nishikant Dubey described Geeta Mukherjee, the late MP from West Bengal, as, I quote, "champion of the cause," end quote. She had introduced the first women's reservation bill in Parliament on September 12, 1996. She then chaired a joint parliamentary committee that carried out an in-depth review of the 1996 bill and made 7 recommendations. 5 of those recommendations would later be included in the UPA's version of a women's reservation bill in 2008. These were reservation for a period of 15 years, sub-reservation for Anglo-Indians, reservation in cases where the state has less than 3 seats in Lok Sabha or less than 3 seats for SCSTs, reservation for the Delhi Assembly, changing not less than 1/3 to as nearly as maybe 1/3. The Atal Bihari Vajpayee-led NDA government introduced the Women's Reservation Bill several times in 1998, 1999, 2002 and 2003, but had no success. The UPA under Manmohan Singh included a Women's Reservation Bill in 2008 along with Mukherjee's recommendations. It was passed nearly unanimously in the Rajya Sabha in 2010 with 186 votes in favour and 1 against. But it never made it through the Lok Sabha and lapsed in 2014 when the term of that Lok Sabha ended. So, September 19th felt for many like a day of fruition and welcome progress. That probably explains Sonia Gandhi's statement in the parliament on that day. She said, and I quote, "The Indian woman has patience like the ocean. She has worked for everyone's betterment like a river. Any delay in implementing the Women's Reservation Bill will be a gross injustice to Indian women," end quote. Speaking in the Lok Sabha, DMK MP Kanimuri said, and I quote, "You call this bill Nari Shakti Vandan Adhiniyam. Stop saluting us. We don't want to be saluted. We don't want to be put on pedestals. We do not want to be worshipped. Stop calling us your mothers, wives, sisters. We want to be respected as equals," end quote. Some women MPs called out the BJP's grandstanding attempt to own the day. NCP MP Supriya Sule said, and I quote, "Nishikant Dubey said that INDIA, the new political alliance or coalition formed this year, is on the side of people who ran women down and spoke derogatorily. There was a head of the BJP in Maharashtra. He told me personally on record on television, Supriya Sule ghar jao, khana banao, desh koi aur chala lega. Hum log chalayenge." Smriti Irani of the BJP, a popular MP, gave this event a spiritual, if hyperbolic, analogy. And I quote, "If we look from the perspective of the dignity of the constitution, then Goddess Lakshmi has taken a constitutional form through this Women's Reservation Bill," end quote. Shiv Sena MP Priyanka Chaturvedi of Uddhav Thackeray's party highlighted the 4-year delay until delimitation. Her inquiry, I quote, "The important question here is, when will it, that's the Women's Reservation Bill, be implemented?" End quote. Bhavna Gawali of the other Shiv Sena, the breakaway Shinde faction, praised the bill as one that will benefit all women in the country. According to a report in Outlook India, Sangeeta Azad of the Bahujan Samaj Party or BSP spoke in support of the Women's Reservation Bill, but she also demanded that the quota be increased to 50%. The Women's Reservation Bill was passed with 454 votes in favour and 2 against in the Lok Sabha. According to the Hindustan Times, the 2 opposing votes may have come from Asauddin Owaisi and Imtiaz Jalil of the AIMIM party, which opposed the bill. Explaining his stance in the Lok Sabha, Owaisi said, and I quote, "I oppose this legislation. The justification that is being given for the bill is that more women will get elected to parliament. If that is the justification, why that justification is not being extended to the OBC and Muslim women whose representation in this august house is minimal," end quote. Later, speaking to news agency ANI, he said, and I quote, "We voted against it so that the country knows that there are 2 members of parliament who are fighting for the inclusion of OBC and Muslim in the quota ambit. OBC people account for more than 50% of the country's population. Why is the government then denying reservation to women from a community which makes up more than 50% of our population? Muslim women account for about 7% of the national population, but their representation in our legislative bodies, including the parliament, is just 0.7%. End quote.
Simplifying a complex, confusing world. The Explainers, only on the Podcaster.
On 21st September, the Rajya Sabha passed the bill unanimously with 214 in favour and none against. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman praised former PM Narasimha Rao's contributions towards this in her speech in the Rajya Sabha. I quote, "I want to credit former Prime Minister P.V. Narasimha Rao's government for having brought in 33% reservation in the Panchayat Raj at that time. As a result, we have seen a groundswell at the Panchayat level where 33% reservation today by many states, it has been increased to 50%, showing the contribution of women at that Panchayat level." End quote. As of 29th September, India's President Draupadi Murmu has given her assent to the bill. That means Nari Shakti Vandan Adhiniyam has officially become an act.
We help you understand the world. The Explainers, only on the Podcaster.